Who's got a praise to share?
I do.
Okay, they're all over the place. So, Michael, you were actually quick on the draw, so you go first, then Andrew was.
Well, there's been a lot going on in my life, and I needed time to do things. So I prayed to the Lord to make time for me to spend with Him and His Word and things like that. And I can't set an alarm in the morning and wake up earlier because my wife has to get a certain amount of sleep and all that kind of stuff. So I just asked Him just to wake me up
early, brother,
and let me sneak out. And ever since then, I've been getting up an hour, 2 hours early and having that time with Him. And, you know, I'm a little fatigued, but I'm not tired.
Yeah.
You know, He's keeping up my strength and things like that. And during the time that I'm in the Word, it's just things just pop out. You know, and I started thinking about, you know, some people discount the Old Testament, saying, well, you know, Jesus came, it's the New Testament. That stuff doesn't matter. But I'm reading in Matthew, and He says, I am, and that was significant. I am come to fulfill and not to destroy the law. And then He cleanses the leper and then commands the leper to go to the priest and do what Moses commanded. So the obligations of a lot of the rules in the Old Testament don't apply, but the Old Testament is certainly not to be discounted. There's things in there that are still valid today.
Oh, yeah, like don't kill people.
Right. But it's just amazing how these little things just pop out.
Yeah, no, it's all God's Word, every bit.
Amen.
There are dispensations of time and place, and there are things that are fulfilled, and when they're fulfilled, they're done. Doesn't mean they're not to be remembered or they didn't have value. They did. It's just that the whole Old Testament's about Jesus is coming someday.
Right.
And He did. And the things that we were waiting for are now completed, and so we're going on to go with what comes next. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't know about those things or that they're not valid. Of course they're valid. Matter of fact, they're proof in themselves of tremendous things. So it's all good. Drew, what's your praise?
I went in for an interview on Friday morning, and I got the job on the spot.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And I didn't know that I was applying to the company where Harley works, so we're going to be coworkers.
Whoa, that's awesome.
I know.
Harley still gets to keep his job, does he?
Well, Harley, they're two very different roles. One's sales, and the other one is the installations and repair and maintenance of equipment and, you know, the electronics and computer stuff and all that. So, you know, it'll be an interesting to see how if they ever even see each other on the job, but they may or may not. But I think the Lord wants to get your boss in church. He's putting a whole team surrounding him with a whole team. Yeah, he doesn't know it yet, does he? Drew, you had a second one.
Yeah, I got an apartment set up, too.
Everybody.
Yeah.
A really nice one.
Right.
Yeah.
That is progress.
And I have a praise. I have a praise. Drew got an apartment set up. That's fine. I'm just having fun. Terry, what's your praise?
I want to praise God sincerely. My daughter found a home church. She has declared it her home church.
Yeah.
Which is a major, major progress step in the right direction for her. I was so worried because they were out of church for a while because their church dissolved or something. I don't know. But I was really worried. They kept going church to church, which is okay as far as I'm concerned, but they needed a home base. But they found one. She's very happy. She's pleased with the youth program. He is into the screenshot. What Harley and all them do? Anyway, my son-in-law, he does all that, so they need him for that. And she's getting back into singing. She started playing again, and I just praise God. That was one of my biggest prayers, you know.
Well, amen. That's pretty wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. Let's see, there were some more. Nona.
I'm just going on with what everybody else has said about how the Lord works in your life. And with my daughter coming in from Oklahoma and getting together with my other daughter and everything. And now that I'm going to be hosting the home team, I mean, it all just kind of single.
Yeah, they hadn't heard yet, but Nona's going to be hosting the Serving God as a Single home team that starts this Tuesday.
Single?
No, they're inviting everybody for the reason that people have been through what they're going through and can greatly contribute. I thought the title ought to be Surviving Singlehood, but but it's kind of hard. It is kind of hard to survive being single these days. You know, but we do. We want to do more than survive.
Well, it's not surviving; it's enjoying, and
we want to flourish. Amen.
Being happy as a single.
Yeah, that and that's you know, and a servant, being able to serve as a single, which the Bible says that you should be able to serve more effectively as a single, not just something you have to pass through until you earn your way to being married or something. But
didn't Paul allude to that?
Yes, he did. Yeah. He absolutely did. Yeah, cool. Go ahead, Clarissa.
I just praise God that Drew is back home.
Amen.
Yeah. We got some real difference made by the Lord, and we're looking forward to great things together.
Amen.
He's been away, and he's no longer away. Praise God. Vicki?
I'd like to praise God for godly friends and for the opportunity to spend time together. Clarissa and I finally got to, we've had it on our calendars to spend some time together, but with the holidays and our schedules and everything, it hasn't worked out. But Friday night, we were able to spend time together and work on a project and see it to completion and had some great fellowship, too.
Did an amazing job on it.
That was awesome.
Amazing.
I saw some pictures and stuff of that, and I was pretty impressed with the way it the way you guys put all that together.
Thank God for the mix on that. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's...
Praise goes to God.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously. My praise is a general one. The church is... yeah, there's still seats out there to fill. And that's all wonderful. And once we get them, if we ever did get them full, we'd just make some more empty ones to fill up after that. But the church is maturing. There's more than one way a church grows. It grows in grace and knowledge and truth and wisdom and maturity. And we have a lot of fairly well grown up, solid in the Lord believers here at Lighthouse. And that makes an incredible difference in what we do as a church and what we're able to do as a church. Bubba, you know, we all rejoice in the fact that well, I don't know. We rejoice in the fact it took 20 years of witnessing to him, 25, I guess. But I always underestimate the reverse gear in my mental transmission, so I can't think backwards. But there's another fella that's out there in my construction world, like Bubba was, that I've been witnessing to for, I was thinking 15, 18, but if it's 25 with you, it's been over 20 for him. And he trusted Christ in his third Bible class Wednesday night. And I haven't seen him in church yet, but it's only a matter of time. But God says that you, in due time, you will reap if you faint not.
Amen. True.
Boy, God is not kidding around about that. You don't give up on people. You don't give up on the Lord. And you don't ever give up on each other.
Never.
Never, never, never. It's just not done in the circles we live in. We don't live like the world lives. We don't do things like the world does things, and we don't receive what the world receives. I don't know about you, but I just love being one of God's kids.
Amen.
It's just the best life it's ever been. There's nothing like it. Oh, by the way, another one of my customers who's, everybody I know is weird, and that includes all of you. You understand that. We just are. I mean, we're just, but... A couple, yeah, takes one to know one, for sure. But I've been talking to these people about the Lord for, I don't know, 12, 15 years. I went over to bring them a bill for some work we've done and to set up another, some more jobs we were But they brought it up, that how I keep talking to them about the Lord, and their Bible classes start January 22nd.
Yeah, all right.
They're supposed to come to church. Now, I'll be surprised. I hate to say it, but I'll actually be surprised if I see them come to church. But those Bible classes, they're ready. It's taken a long time, but they're ready. And it's just stuff that God's doing. I mean, it's R.O., the guy that got saved Wednesday. He was just, his salvation experience was amazing. He was just so overcome when the burden of guilt left. And, you know, everybody's emotionally a little different when they trust the Lord. And he was just going back and he said, when you asked me this last time to, he said, I just said yes, and it was, he said, I didn't even realize I'd done it. He said, it was like it was somebody else just did it for me. But, and I said, well, that is kind of the way it works. But at any rate, God's so good. Right? I mean, he's just showing off all over the place right now, isn't he?
Yes.
I mean, it's in every individual life here, God's just showing himself strong. You know, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of whose heart is perfect toward him. I think that's us. Just keep it that way. Amen?
Amen.
Any other praise?
Yeah,
hey, we do this all day. I really don't care. Gerald?
I just want to say thank you for us, me being able to have a good time with my son coming to visit.
Mm-hmm.
On the way home, we had a good one-on-one through the traffic and the accidents and the rain and everything else that was on the highway there and back to Montgomery.
Wow.
But hopefully we discussed it correctly and he'll get on the right path and go to school, get a job, and I just hope the conversation sunk in.
Amen. Amen. Sowing seeds, and they do take hold. They do. There was another one, Mary.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you all something. It's happened to me every year, every first of the year, when I wake up in the morning, it's like the love of God just flood me and I'm so happy and excited and that could keep me right through the whole year, honestly. And I listen to what he said about
getting up, waking up, spending time with the Lord.
I've never once used an alarm clock to wake myself. I have this thing about God, you're awesome. Can you wake me up in the morning time, please? I always drive a school bus, so you know I have to get up early, and you always wake me up. So when I say that, I remember. It's true. Just ask the Lord. He's so awesome. You just ask him.
Yeah.
And say, okay, I'll do it for you, you know. And
that is the
wonderful thing.
That is the fulfillment of Psalm 37.
Yeah.
Won't go there and study it right now, but you just go read that and tell me if God isn't fulfilling his promise there in Psalm 37 that you're experiencing that. That's what you'll see. Drew. Yes. Drew set up another set of Bible classes this week as well.
And that's a prayer request.
Yeah, prayer request and a praise as well. Someone who came here as a kid and hadn't been back since, but now wants to come and find out. Seeds sown that have been germinating for a long time. So to speak. Okay, Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to talk about hate. We know that God is love, but God also
hates wickedness.
God also hates. Oh, how dare you say that about God? I'm only repeating what God says about himself. Before we go to that, we're going to do a little review. And it's interesting that you talked about getting up early, because that's what we were reading about in Proverbs last week. In chapter 6, verse 9, "Oh, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard?" Who's a good computer like app person? Don't they have a thing where you can, you know, do your alarm chime? Make it up custom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, just think of this in the morning. Ring. How long wilt thou sleep, old sluggard? I think that's a coolest alarm ring that you could put on your phone. Wouldn't that be cool? I'll record it for you if you want to do it. So. I'll put the drama in it for you.
Pastor saying, how long wilt thou sleep?
When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Dost not thou hit the snooze button far too often?
That's an evil button.
Yet a little sleep? Well, I'm only going to sleep for another 30 minutes. A little bit, you know. What would you give for 30 minutes of real productivity? I mean, getting it done. You know, some days, everything goes south so bad, you don't get 30 minutes of real productivity. When are you the most productive in your day? In the morning. Well, I'm not a morning person. Well, you are, whether you know it or not. Yeah, amen. It's in the morning that your mind is freshest and that has fewer cobwebs. So I had to go pay a fine because one of my trailer's tags were out, and I have too many trailers, but, you know, I didn't keep up with one of them apparently. And if you go through Clear Lake Shores with anything wrong, you're going to get stopped. And so they pulled me over and gave me a ticket for the trailer tag. So I went and got my tags and paid the thing. There's no penalty. You just have to pay for when they were due, and you just have to pay for the time anyway. So I took it up there, paid my ticket, and they said, well, since you got it, it's just a $20 something fee. But they had this wonderful sign up at the back of their little counter there where you have to go pay your tickets. It says, give me coffee and no one gets hurt. Get up and get you some coffee, shake out the cobwebs, and get on with your day. Amen?
Yeah.
It's the Word of God. It's not just a good idea. It's the way it's designed to be done. It's the way you're made to operate. It is. He says, if you stay sleeping, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. It just keeps steadily getting worse. And thy want as an armed man. Like somebody takes everything you've got. And then he says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. That's just an evil mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. What is all that? What's he talking about?
Speaks with his feet.
It says he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers, he winketh with his eyes.
He uses deceptive body language to mislead you. He's a con man.
That's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about body language. Guy says, yeah, I promise. I'm going to be there. And he's... He's lying, and he's, you know, his body language is revealing it. Frowardness, or... Somebody asked me last week, what's froward mean? I said, well, it's a word that encompasses all kinds of bad. I mean, it's evil speaking, it's evil thought, it's basically evil. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. Some words that we use in our language, erroneously actually, place greater significance on. Mischief is a word that is thought of often as like, it's kind of cute, not a big deal. Yeah, it's wrong, but it's like the stuff that kids do on Halloween and put practical jokes and tricks and things like that. But the word mischief is evil. It's just talking about evil. It's not a lightweight word. It's just the real thing. It's evil. He deviseth evil continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. There are folks that get planted in churches like this. It happens ever so often. Satan, his deal is to make that happen. His modus operandi or something like, what do they call that? His method of doing his thing. that's how he does most of it. He'll plant somebody who's always looking for a way to cause trouble and takes pleasure in other people's problems. Sometimes you have an enemy in life. It happens to us. If, matter of fact, if you're serving the Lord, I will guarantee you it'll happen to you.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have an enemy show up here and there.
Definitely.
And they're going to be looking for ways to hurt you. They're going to be sowing discord. This sowing discord thing's going to come up again here pretty soon. You can't really prove who these people are most of the time. It's hard to know who they are. But after time goes by and a certain amount of damage is done, you finally begin to figure out what's going on, if you've survived it that long. Just know, if you're ever tempted to wish evil against anybody, you know, sometimes you have an enemy and then something happens to them and it's not good, and you're tempted to be glad about it.
Don't be. God don't like that.
God don't marry his own target. God don't like that. God does not want you to rejoice in the calamity of your enemies. Because they're gonna it's going to happen. Everything that goes around
comes around.
Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever man reapeth is because that's what he sowed. So you can do it either way. But don't ever get caught up in wishing evil against anybody. Now, it's hard not to do in politics. It's hard not to do when you see certain people doing certain things. It's hard not to do when you drive by the abortion clinic. But God says that we're not to wish evil against anybody. We'll get into that more another day. But I wanted to get it down to verse 16 and have a little time to spend on this. The Bible says there are six things that the Lord doth hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now that's a little hard to understand. Is something being an abomination to the Lord worse than that he hates it? Is that more compounded? Or are all seven of these things an abomination and six of them God absolutely hates, but the other one? And I've looked at the Hebrew words and I really can't get a hold of it. But one thing I do know, all seven of them are places you don't want to be. All seven are things that you'd never, ever, 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 ever want to be involved in yourself. So should we hate what God hates?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not our job to do something about it as it is God's. So you're going to have to kind of draw a line there and separate yourself. You got to put some limits on us. So what are these seven things that God does not appreciate, does not like, that he hates, that are an abomination to God? One of them, the first one, is a proud look. Do you ever see a proud look in church?
Yep.
Yeah, you do. You'd be surprised. It's something that you catch yourself in or find yourself doing without realizing it. You know, you can be so blessed and so righteous that you find yourself looking down on somebody else. That's something that God hates. I don't care if it's a drunk or a drug addict or a guy under the bridge for any number of combinations of reasons. Were it not for the grace of God, there go I.
Yep.
I mean, it's just that way, folks.
I think there's a fine line between what you're talking about here and what you talked about some time ago, where you said, you know, to be confident in God's word, and some people look at that
as arrogance
and things like that. So, I mean, we shouldn't refrain from speaking the truth, but it's the delivery, it's the compassion, and it's not
speaking
it's not,
the truth
the pointing of
in
the
love.
Fingers.
God says
yeah.
That takes a little bit of work to get that done. You gotta think about what you're gonna say before you say it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's said that some of us, whatever we think, immediately falls straight on our tongue and rolls out our mouth. And that can be like that if you're not careful. Do you ever catch yourself saying, did I say that out loud? Yeah. So we have to be careful about that. So a proud look. You don't want to go there. A lying tongue. Is there anybody in here who's never lied?
Nope.
No.
I almost took hands up.
You what?
We all tell a lie. Liar.
Caleb's not in here today.
Well, I don't think he's...
But he couldn't raise his hand either.
Nope.
Has he marked on the wall yet?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No.
He's done other things, yeah. And you ask him if he did it?
Yeah.
Does he know how to shake his head this way?
No, he probably doesn't understand yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lying is in our blood.
I say don't do that, and he does it anyway, though.
Yeah, there you go.
He does that.
There you go. A lying tongue. Lying is it's a hard issue to deal with, a lot more so than you realize. Is lying always just stating something that's not true?
No.
Mm-hmm. Omission of facts.
Can you lie by omission?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Purposefully leaving out certain facts?
Yes.
That mislead?
Yes.
Well, that's not technically, that's not lying. You think God's going to let you be technical? Probably not. You know, it's just what it is. The next one is, it just saddens me, and hands that shed innocent blood. God says that he hates hands that shed innocent blood. Now, who is that?
Abortions.
That's the person or persons who are contributors to the death of the innocent. And there are no more innocent than the unborn. That's not the only way this is done. Those that would seek vengeance and kill unjustly, there is death that is just and there is death that is unjust. But primarily, as you go through the scripture, it starts back with some of the Old Testament kings. Manasseh was probably the most vile of all of them, burning their children alive in an offering to false gods. And they practiced this on a daily basis in Israel at one time. And God hated it and judged it, and it was very severe, and it should have been. But what they're doing with children at the numbers and rate that's going on in this country and throughout the rest of the world today, I am surprised that God hadn't burned the whole place down before now. Yeah. The only thing that I see that may, and this is a guess on my part, okay, and I'm not giving you thus saith the Lord, I'm speculating. I cannot understand that why God is putting up with this. I don't, except that possibly most of the people who are murdering their own children are lost.
Yeah.
And are not just lost, but are in a very, they've gone to the depths of evil and sin.
Yeah.
And the probability of the child that would be born being raised in that. And I know God doesn't do probabilities because he knows. Okay, I do probabilities. I think, well, that's probably going to happen, but God doesn't do that. The likelihood from our perspective of those being raised up to become evil just like their parents were is high. And so God taking that, and the other thing you have to realize is that nobody dies. You know, I was discussing the possibility of someone committing suicide this past week. And I reminded them that no one dies until God says so. You can't leave this world without God allowing you to do that. Life and death is in the hand of God, nobody else. You say, well, you can take your own life. Well, there's a lot of people try to take their own lives. Most of them don't make it. Only when God says you go, do you go. That's it. I don't care what you do or how you do it. God's in control of everything, and everything operates on His word. It's just the way it works.
So how do you reconcile all this with turning the other cheek versus defending yourself and having justification for any of that stuff?
No, we'll talk about that in a minute, I think. We'll see.
Okay.
But God hates hands that shed innocent blood. He does. And He's going to deal with them. If God's going to deal with the guy that's devising mischief up here, and his calamity is going to come suddenly, and there's not going to be any remedy for it, what do you think He's going to do with hands that shed innocent blood? Now, what we're going to do, we're going to look at these things that God hates, and we're going to say, well, boy, that's really bad. And then others, we're going to say, well, that's kind of bad, too. No, they're all horribly, horribly, horribly bad. And one of them, as a matter of fact, several of them are common to happen in church. Do you mean that there are things that happen in church that are on a level of killing babies before God's judgment and before His definition of what's evil and what's not? I want you to look at this list. If it made this list, God hates it, and it's way up here high on the level of things that are as wrong as you get. And a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Boy, we could do this and we could do that. And we can speculate about what those things are and how they work. And how holy is your heart?
Not very.
No, the heart is deceitful above all things.
Desperately wicked.
And desperately wicked.
What's in your heart?
Who can know it? Well, only God can. That's the answer. But if you don't walk in fellowship with the Lord daily, your heart will be right in the middle of this garbage because it is desperately wicked and you cannot control your heart. But God can.
Yep.
And only God can. So we have to be careful to walk in fellowship with God. We have to, on purpose, when we sin, we don't wait till Sunday to get it right before we observe the Lord's Supper.
Do it immediately.
We immediately confess that sin to the Lord and get busy replacing it with something righteous.
Amen.
Or this is where we're going to head. Feet that be swift in running to evil. That mischief word again that we think is like child's play is not. It's evil. Evil. Quick to do it. Some people are quicker than others to run to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. Wait a minute. Isn't that what he said back here? A lying tongue?
Yeah.
Well, this is a specific kind of lie. What kind of lie is this different from the general kind of lie?
Not teaching the Bible the correct
lying
way.
Lying about something you saw.
Of what?
Lying about something you saw.
Lying about something that you saw.
Being a false.
Well,
in court.
A witness, when a witness is coming up in an issue of judgment, it's either for or against someone else. A false witness. Before we leave that, let me take you to what the Bible says about witnesses. Go to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5 is talking about your leaders in the church. It's talking about Brother Cecil. Talking about me, talking about Ray and Justin and others that are coming along in that capacity. It says in verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers and the younger as sisters with all purity. You don't get in the face of one of your elders and tell them they're wrong. And it's possible for one to be wrong, you understand, but that's not how you do it. That's not what's to be done. Let's go on down. I don't want to teach a whole lesson on that or be in the middle of all that. I want to take you on down here to verse number 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. I ask people what that means, and they look at me like a calf staring at the new gate, don't have a clue what that is. The ox that's walking around there pulling the wheel, you don't put a muzzle on him because he needs to get him some of that grain he's grinding out once in a while. He gets his share. What it means is pay your pastor. It's real simple. But there's something more valuable than the paycheck that you can do for your pastor and your elders in your church in the next couple of verses. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. God says that he hates a false witness that speaks lies. In a setting of serving the Lord, where's the greatest objective of witnessing against somebody? Satan's going to stir up what?
Discord.
He's going to try to take out your leaders. If he can lie, cheat, if he can make it look like you're this or you're that, something that you're not. Are there preachers, are there elders that shouldn't be serving, that are guilty of some pretty heinous things?
Absolutely.
Perversion, sexual immorality, stealing, yeah. Embezzlement.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a huge list of things that preachers have done that are wrong. And so you just let them get away with it and don't ever talk about it, right?
No.
Yes and no. Do not receive an accusation. Do not let somebody tell you, well, Brother Cecil did this, or Brother Dill did that, or Brother Justin's doing this. Unless there's two or three witnesses. You don't ever let somebody tell you anything against one of your elders, period, by themselves. You've heard of the hand. Well, this is what you do. Stop right there. But I wanted you to know that you stop right there. I'm not going to listen to this. And you don't have to. Well, I don't know if, you know, I'm uncomfortable telling people to stop. Well, you just better be uncomfortable. Because God commands you to receive no accusation against an elder unless there's two or three witnesses. Why does it say two or three?
Two or three are gathered in his name, there is with them.
Well, there's those things, but why would it be two or three?
To support each other.
Yeah.
Well, because then it's not your word against somebody else.
Well, we know that, but why would it be the two or the three? Which way should it be? What if you got two people that have a somewhat of a reputation for gossip and slander and so on and so forth? Will you accept two of those?
No.
Unless they've got a good reputation, you're going to need three.
Yeah.
In other words, God has laid this out to protect his servants from slander. Because it'll destroy one of his servants. It'll destroy your ability to do anything. Receive not an accusation. He says, them that sin, rebuke before all that others may fear. But if you really want to pay your pastor, if you want to appreciate your elders and those that rule and those that lead, don't let anybody slander them.
Amen.
Ever. If there's something happened and there's three good solid witnesses and they come before the church, and that's another issue. But that's another reason that the Bible teaches that there should be plural leadership within the church, so that there's not just one person that's leading. That's why we have an elder board. That's why we have more than one pastor. Because, yeah, anybody could go south. We're all sinners. We all have wicked hearts, deceitful hearts. Do we not?
Yes.
Everybody's the same.